Welcome, everyone. That's my bad. Welcome, everyone, to the conclusion of our three-part series, Silent Night. I always feel like I need to wake you up after that intro. Everybody awake? All right. It's been a wonderful series as we're in this Christmas season. Cannot believe that Christmas is already this week, this coming Thursday. I don't know about you, but it's been a whirlwind of a season for me, and I'm sure for you as well. It just seems like more to do than we have time to do around this time of year. But we need to make sure we focus on really what the season is all about. And in the midst of it all, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, our desire and our goal, in fact, in the goal of this series, is that in the midst of it all, that you'll experience His peace. His peace. And that's not just something on a Christmas card. That's not just something in a song of Silent Night. But that's something that we believe in praying for, that God will do a deep work inside of you. And I've already had some people that's come up to me and said, you know, God is really speaking through this series. And so I'm just so thankful for that and for His Word that is accomplishing things in our hearts and lives of our people. And so I want to just emphasize, before we get into the series this morning, I want to emphasize some things, just highlight some of the things that you saw on our announcements. And one of those is our trip to India that is coming up, and who knows but what there may be somebody that has the means and ability, or God will enable them and give them the resources they need to be able to go on this trip to India. And we're encouraging you, if you want details about that, to please see Pravalik and Joanne, and they're heading that up. It's his homeland. His father is a pastor there. It's going to be a tremendous trip if you're able to go and take part in that. We'd love to be able to send somebody from the church there and represent the church and go and do ministry there. And I believe it'll be a life-changing experience. We just happen to have two individuals that just got back from another part of the world, from Ukraine. The Zioners are home. Welcome home, Zioners. And talked to Michelle last evening and understand that it was a very successful trip. And things are coming together very nicely in order to have our two boys come home and be adopted into the family of the Zioners and into the family of Crosspoint and the family of God, for that matter. But we're just so thankful for the ministry, and they spent a couple weeks, I understand, doing a lot of travels. Michelle said, this is a big world, and it is. And so I think sometimes we look at our four walls, you know, we look at our little block, we look at our circle of whatever we're involved in our life, and we kind of get wrapped up in that and think that's really all there is to it. But there's so much more. So thankful that God put the body of Christ in place so that we can be able, through that body, to be able to reach out around the world and do ministry out of our little block. Amen? So I'm so thankful for the Zioners, and I want to also just tell you that we've been offering, started the first Sunday of this month, given the opportunity for you to have part financially in supporting the adoption of these children, and this is a ministry. We're calling it a legacy offering. I said it was the first Sunday of December. I allowed you the first Sunday of December to participate with that, but I said last week, hey, if you haven't had an opportunity yet, it's not too late. So I'm going to say it again. If you haven't had an opportunity, it's not too late. So today, we're going to allow you at the end of the service to take part in that if you'd like to do so. That's called our legacy offering. I want to also thank you for last week. We had a need arise where a family needed food. They were not asking for toys, but they were asking for food. And I want to thank those of you that were able to respond last week. And that opportunity is still open today. We're going to be gifting them with a blessing regarding their food situation today. And so if you want to participate with helping us in the offering, we'll tell you more about that at the conclusion of the message as well. So thank you so much for all that you're doing. And let me cap it all off by saying, I hope that you're using these acts of kindness cards and using these. You know how these work. And I believe that they're not just random acts of kindness, but I believe God can use these where you go through a drive-through, pay for the person's meal behind you. You say, how do I know what it is? Just ask the person. The person's ordering while you're getting your food. They know. Say, hey, I'll pay for that person behind me. But always attach to that, attach kindness to God, right? He's the source. And so leave a card behind and let them know, send a message with that. I've heard some amazing stories of churches that have used these cards. I heard of one lady who she used this card at a drive-through and at a fast food place, and so she left there and she went across the street to a Chevron service station. And while she's filling up the gas, apparently the lady behind her that she had paid for her meal spotted her and showed up at the gas station. And she was standing there with her arms folded, mad, and said, "Do I know you?" And of course, the lady that had given her the card saw that she looked a little bit upset, and she prayed first, which is always a good idea. And then she said, "No, I don't know you. Well, why did you buy my meal?" And she said, "Well, because God knows your name, and he's concerned about every detail of your life, and he wants you to know that he loves you." And the lady stared at her what seemed like an eternity, and then this tear started coming down her face. And then in a moment, the lady ran to her and hugged her. The lady who received the gift ran and hugged the girl and said, "You don't know what this meant to me, because I've had the worst day of my life, which is also part of the worst month of my life, and I had been asking God today to give me a sign to let me know that he was still there and that he loved me." And they stood there at the Chevron service station and had prayer together. I want to tell you, this may seem like a simple card. Well, what's the big deal about that, Pastor? I want to tell you, sometimes it's not just a random act of kindness, but it's actually God uses these, and it's God orchestrated, so it's just a tool. Surrender it to God. You know, anything put in God's hand, he can use it in a supernatural way. So I want to encourage you, use these. Pick these up. They're back here. There's more of them. You can get a handful of them back here at the connection table. We order these. Last thing I want to do is see them things still sitting there and you not using them. Use these. Bless somebody. And the fact of the matter is you'll be blessed in the process. Right? Okay, everybody? All right. Good stuff. Let's get into this message here. Again, we've titled this message around this Christmas song that's titled Silent Night. It's a series about peace. Again, we sing songs about peace at Christmas time. We have Christmas cards. We hear a lot about peace on earth and all these things about peace, but few of us actually really, I think, experience the peace that God intended for us to have, especially around this time of year when things are so crazy and hustle bustle. And so for many, it's really not a very merry Christmas, and it's not a peaceful time, but yet the Bible describes this peace as something that we can have. And so we started this series in looking at the shepherds announced as they received the announcement from the angels in Luke chapter 2. It's there in your message notes. You can follow along here on the screen also. And here's the announcement. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And I know we've thought we have heard that worded a different way, and the King James actually says, "And on earth peace, goodwill toward men." But it says on earth peace, goodwill. It doesn't say peace on earth. And a lot of us have coined this phrase peace on earth, but the fact of the matter is this scripture never says there's peace on earth. In fact, in scripture we understand that there's only one verse that says peace on earth. And it's Jesus saying, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth?" And he says, "No, I did not." He did not come to bring peace on earth. The fact of the matter is, we are in a very unpeaceful world. We live in an unpeaceful society. But here's the truth of the matter is, and that is that he came to bring peace to men in the midst of an unpeaceful world. So while the world may not have peace, you and I can experience peace in the midst of it all. And so the proper translation of that is truly, on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And so we looked at what does that look like? Because if his favor rests, then how do we get his rest, or how do we get his favor if his peace comes to those whom his favor rests? So how do we acquire that favor? And we talked about that. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says it's a gift. He says, "I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart." And then he says, "The peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid." And so what we realize is that there is a peace that we can have, but it requires us coming up under this thing of God's favor and accepting His gift of peace in our life. And it's a gift He's offering. And I want to tell you today, my prayer is that you and I, all of us, will receive this gift this Christmas. And if you have yet received this gift of peace, I would encourage you, at the conclusion of this service, we're actually going to have a candlelighting time, but at the conclusion of that, listen, if you want to linger and you want to stay here for prayer, I encourage you to do that. There's some people that will be here to pray with you as long as need be, and we're going to pray for you and believe that God's going to set you free in your spirit and give you the peace that God intends for you to have. Last week, we discovered that there is no peace without, you can't have peace without being a peacemaker. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." And so he says that peace comes to the peacemakers. You're blessed, you're happy, you're content when you are a peacemaker. And some of us think that means peacekeeping, but peacekeeping is different than peacemaking. Peacemaking means to reconcile. That means that you take somebody who's got a debt against you, that you take that balance to zero, that you don't charge them for whatever they're indebted to you for. And that doesn't mean that you got to go to them and try to get them to understand you and you understand them. We're not talking about that. We're talking about reconciling in your heart and calling that thing zero. So it doesn't require anything of the other party. What it does, it sets you at peace. And the benefit is all yours because you've reconciled. You have reconciled and brought their balance to zero. So this week, we want to talk about the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Excuse me. And so I want to give you a verse as a prophetic verse, a verse of prophecy that was written 700 years before Jesus was born in a manger. And by the way, there are 300 prophecies in your Old Testament of Jesus coming. And every one of those have been fulfilled. Are you hearing me this morning? Get this. 300 prophecies of His coming. This was how many years? Hundreds of years before Jesus was to come. And yet all of those were fulfilled. And those prophecies were very much, very, very detailed in the birth and the life and the death of Jesus. To great detail, these prophecies are there. And so here's something that I understand. There's something called quantitative analysis. Anybody know what quantitative analysis is? A few people know what quantitative analysis is. And that's really where you have this. It's a wonderful class to take, isn't it? Have you ever taken quantitative analysis? And you love it, right? And it's where you study these formulas that give you these probabilities of things, you know, being able to happen. And someone did a study of this, took a quantitative analysis of this of these prophecies. And here's the deal. If eight, now listen, there's 300 prophecies. But if eight prophecies were fulfilled, only eight. Now there were 300, but if only eight were fulfilled, the probability of that would be 10 to the 17th power that they would be fulfilled. What that means is it's 100,000 trillion. Chance. We don't even know what that means, do we? A trillion is 1,000 billion, so that's 1,000,000 billion. If you were a kid, you'd say that's a zillion. So it is, right? And it's really a quadrillion. It's 1 and 17 zeros behind it. And that's only eight. And there were 300 prophecies. And then if it were 48, let's take it up to 48. If 48 were fulfilled, it would be 10 to the 157th power. That's 1 and 157 zeros. And that's only 48, and there were 300. Folks, here's the deal. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. He is who He said He is. Another way of looking at it, they say that if you could take the state of Texas and you would cover the entire state of Texas with quarters 3 feet deep, and you just reach into the state of Texas and you happen to pick up the one quarter you're supposed to pick up, that's how much of a chance it would be that these things would be fulfilled. Are you getting this? I mean, He is who He says He is. And so I want us to look at who He really is. He is described as the Prince of Peace. And in the Hebrew, the word there is sar shalom. And it comes from this verse. We see this in this verse, this prophetic verse from Isaiah, prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And when you break that down, that word, that Prince of Peace, what it means there again is Shar Shalom. And that word Sar, really what that actually means, Prince is probably not the best translation, because we sometimes think, you know, Prince Charming, you know, a royalty kind of thing. But it's much, much more than that. Sar actually means the one in charge. That's your blank there in your note if you want to, if you're taking notes in your message notes there. The one in charge, meaning he's the Lord. Sar means Lord, or means chief, or means general. At one point, the Z was added. It was called Tsar, and even the name Caesar was this same. They translated to this word. And it means one in charge. It's the chief. It's the general. It's the one in authority. And then look at the second word. That second word is shalom. And it's often a Jewish greeting. And it means rest or tranquility. Rest and tranquility. It also means wholeness and completeness and contentment. And so you put those together. And what that really means is the Bible is saying that Jesus is the captain of rest. He is the general. He is the one in charge of contentment. He is the Lord of peace. And the truth is this, Jesus, and you got to get this part, Jesus himself is peace. Because what we're going to talk about today is built on this, and you need to understand this. And that is that Jesus, he doesn't just give you something called peace. It isn't just something that he has that he gives to you. Here's the point. He is peace. And I'm going to show you some verses that's going to bear that out. He is peace. And so really today, to say this message is about peace, I could easily say this message is about Jesus. And so if I want to give you peace, what I really need to give you is Jesus. And if you get Jesus, guess what? You got peace. And by the way, if you do not have Jesus, there's no way that you have peace, because he is peace, and he can, and peace that we're talking about can be found in no other place. He is peace. So, oh, you got to get a hold of that this morning. He is our peace. Let me give you some verses that bear this out. John 14, 27, again, it says this. Another translation puts it this way: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your peace be troubled, and do not be afraid." He says, it's my peace. I give it. I'm giving you my peace. It's who I am. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How do we have a relationship with God our Father? It is through Jesus Christ. And it is through him that we have peace. It is through Jesus himself, he is our peace, that we have that access and are justified through faith. Psalm 4:8 says this, "I will lie down and sleep in peace." Get this, I love this. "For you alone," it's in none other. It's not in drugs, it's not in alcohol, it's not in all the things that the world offers. It's not in these things, it's not in a job, it's not even in another person. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. He says, "For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." And then Psalm 29 and 11 says this, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." With peace. He truly is the Prince of Peace. And how do then we have that? How do we know that peace? How do we receive that? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." For the Bible says, "For he himself," and I put in there "for Christ," because I want you to understand who we're talking about here, is "for Christ himself is our peace. For Christ, He Himself is our peace. He is our peace. When you have Him, you have peace. And really, it is impossible for you to have peace without connecting powerfully, authentically, genuinely in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is our peace today. And so we might ask the question, what is peace? Now, some, when asked that question, would say, well, peace is, it's an emotional thing that you feel. It's an emotion you have. You have this feeling of peace, and that emotion may be involved in it, but it's much more than that. Another person may say, if you ask them what is peace, may answer it this way, well, it's the absence of conflict. But I want to just tell you, it's not necessarily the absence of conflict, because you can have the absence of conflict and still not be at peace. And so I would say this, it's not the absence of something, it's the presence of something. Let me word it to you this way. It's not the absence of something, it's the presence of someone that is your peace. And it's not so much the getting rid of something as it is taking on something. It's saying, we need more of Him. If you need peace today, let me just suggest, it may be that you need more of Him. You need more peace in your life? You need more Jesus in your life. Come on, somebody give me a good amen. I'm amen. I'm preaching a lot better than y'all are amening, all right? Come on. Amen. That's a good place for an amen right now. It doesn't count to your credit if I have to tell you where to put it. Okay, all right. He is our peace, right? We need more of Him. The goal of this message is that we know the Sar Shalom. And we know the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. The product will be peace. If we pursue Jesus, the Old Testament says, seek peace and pursue it. And I've heard that all my life. Seek peace and pursue it. And I've thought all my life, well, I just seek those things that present peace. And while that's true, really the ultimate goal, the ultimate message there is seek Him. Seek Jesus and pursue Him. And when you're seeking Him, guess what? You're going to have peace. Jesus Christ Himself said that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things. Take care of themselves. They'll chase you down, right? Come on, everybody, right? So, peace is not the absence of something. It is the presence of someone, right? I would love to come to your house and solve all your problems. I would love to step into your job and try to remove all the conflict around you with your coworkers. I would love to step into the hospital and fix all these issues there. I would love to be able to do that, but guess what? I could do all that. If I could do all that, you would still not necessarily have peace. But I will tell you this, that if you have Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on around you, you can have peace in the midst of it all. What am I trying to say? There's another story in the Bible about where Jesus was on the ship and there was a storm around them. But as long as you got Jesus on your boat, you're going to be all right. Amen? Come on, somebody. You're going to be all right. If Jesus is on your boat, I don't care how rocky it gets, how stormy it is, how hard the wind blows. I don't care how violent it is around you. I want to tell you, there's peace on the inside of you. Amen? Amen? Excuse me for getting violent there, but I'm just telling you, there's peace. I just a little bit of passion there. There's peace. Because I've experienced that. I just know, and I want you to know that there's peace in the midst of it all. We've had a lot of things going on lately, and a lot of different troubles, a lot of different things happening in our life lately, and just a lot of different turmoils. And I'm sure we're not unique in that. All of us have issues, conflicts, things we're dealing with. But in the midst of it all, we must recognize that Jesus is our peace. So I want to give you three truths. Very quick, I want to give you three truths. I want you to write down, and I believe this. I believe if you follow these three truths, I'm going to give you a guarantee that you're going to have some peace. It'll produce peace if you follow these three truths. If He is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the one in charge of contentment, the captain of rest, then here's the key on how to activate that in your own life. Because here's the thing. Let me just challenge something right here. We can't just say he's Lord. We can't just say he's Sar, he's my Lord, he's in charge. We can't just say that and expect peace. And I think a lot of times we think we just declare that in our life, Jesus is Lord, and it almost becomes a catchphrase in church circles. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take more than that. It's more than just calling him Lord. There will be many that stand before him one day and say, Lord, Lord, and he says, I'll never knew you. So there's something more involved, and that's what we're going to look at. And look at this. Number one, you can't just call him Lord. You got to get under the lordship of Jesus. You got to get under the lordship of Jesus. A lot of people call him Lord, but they're not up under that. Not up under that. If I could paint you a picture today, if there was a storm and it was raining hard and you could find a shelter, something with a roof over it that you could get up under, there would be a protection. You would be dry because you're up under the shelter. Even though it's storming all around you, you're up under the shelter. And I want to tell you, when you're up under the lordship of Jesus Christ, there is a shelter from the storm in him. There is a sweet place in Jesus, no matter what's happening around you, that he will shelter you. My wife and I have had a theme verse of all of our life since we were dating, and we even had shared it on our wedding day, and that's the 91st Psalm. And that's, he that dwells under the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And there's a lot of promises in the 91st Psalm, but it's to the one that makes him the secret place and that hides up under that and comes up under the lordship of that. Y'all got to get this. We got to get this, right? And so, if you're under that shelter, that means that he is Lord of all. That means my decisions. See, sometimes we declare he's Lord, but we're going to make our own decisions. He's Lord, but I'm going to do what I want to do. He's Lord, but I'm going to compartmentalize. He's my Lord on Sunday, but on Monday, well, that's the other world. That's the church world, but here's the other world. The day that we forget the two worlds and we make it his one world, and everything we do is not compartmentalized, but it's the real life, real world that God is Lord of all of it, is the day that we'll have peace. Amen, everybody? So we got to understand, we have to fall underneath him and give him power, and that means submitting to him, because if you're not under his lordship, there's no guarantee of peace. You come out from under that and you're not living the way that you should be living, you're not following his statutes, you're not following his laws, you're not following his rule of peace in your life, there's no guarantee that you're going to have peace. This is good stuff, y'all. There's no guarantee of that. So if you're not having peace, you might need to check and make sure you're under that shelter. Because if you're under that shelter, you're guaranteed that peace. Look at Acts chapter 10. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Get this. Who is Lord of all? How does that come? How does that message of peace come? It is through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Can I do what I want to do and still have peace? No. No. You come up out from under that shelter, there's no guarantee. If you're rebellious and you're living outside the lordship of Christ, he doesn't guarantee that he's going to give you peace. But if you step out from under his covering of righteousness, look at the next verse. The next verse is a promise that if we stay up under his righteousness, there is going to be peace. In other words, if we submit our marriage, if we submit our finances, if we submit our morals, our action, our will, our ways to the lordship of Jesus, the effect will be quietness and confidence. Isaiah 32, 17, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The fruit of it, of staying up under that shelter of his righteousness, the lordship of his righteousness, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. And he goes on and adds this to it. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places and secure homes in undisturbed places of rest, because we have him as our Lord. And so if you don't have peace, we might need to ask ourselves, are we up under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Second thing, bring Jesus into every situation. Bring Jesus into your marriage. Bring Jesus into your parenting. Bring Jesus into your finances. Bring Jesus into your job. Bring Jesus in. Don't compartmentalize. I'm telling you, we live in a society that it's cultural Christianity. You know, we leave Jesus and the Christian thing here on Sundays, and then we go live out the rest of our life. But I'm telling you, if we can change that, where we bring Jesus to the job, we bring Jesus to the mall. Hey, that's a good place for him right now. Come on. We bring Jesus to the parking lot at the mall. We bring Jesus to I-85. We bring Jesus, come on, we bring Jesus into every situation, into all of life. It's going to change. We need to bring Jesus there. I actually had the opportunity yesterday. They had for those of you who don't know, I work at the post office. That's what I do during the week. Anyway, I deliver the mail, and so we were at the station, and we had adopted a family to give gifts to this season. And so the gifts were there, and the postmaster, Charlotte, was there. They actually brought in a guy that worked for the VMF to come in. We were acknowledging one of the mechanics there and gave him an award, and it was a big deal and big thing, and they had all the food spread. And then they looked at me and said, "We want you to pray." I'm thinking, this is an opportunity to bring Jesus into the situation. And so I had an opportunity to pray, and you know what I did? Right there, I found myself with these words coming out of my mouth. "We just welcome you in this place." Isn't that great? Isn't that great to be able to just welcome him into this place and just bring him into the equation and acknowledge that, God, we're the means, but we recognize that you're the source. And so we're thanking you for the blessings today. You know, bring Jesus into the situation, right? In every situation that you're facing. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you, with all of you." The Lord, now look at it. The Lord be with you. Just underline that word "with." The Lord be with you. We sung it this morning. He is God Emmanuel. You see, you're not out here doing this thing alone. If you are, you're doing it wrong. When you accept Jesus, he comes and he lives in your heart. He has a place inside of you. And so he is now in authority, not you. You submit to him. And when you do, there is peace in your life. And so in every situation, at all times, he brings peace. He is the Lord of peace. He comes to us in those places that we don't know what we're going to do. And I know we got one more Sunday before this year ends, but I'm telling you, this has been a year for us. And I'm not going to throw a pity party here, but I'm telling you, this has probably been one of the hardest years that Kim and I have ever experienced in our life on many levels, on many fronts, everywhere we look, it seems like. Have you ever had a year like that? Was it this year? You know, I mean, it's been tough. It's been tough. Her brother, Steve, Kim's brother, Steve, I was talking to him the other day as we were actually in the hospital, because as many of you know that Kim and Steve, they lost their father. My father-in-law passed away this past May. And then at that same time, Ella had the need of being in a nursing home. And so we've been caring for her. And then a couple of weeks ago, we actually had to put her in the hospital. She had a seizure. She had a bad infection. She ended up having Mercer. And I'm sitting there in the hospital with Steve and Kim. And Steve looks at me and he says, "You know, I told a friend the other day that if you would have told me at the beginning of this year the road that I would have had to have traveled down, I would have said, I'm not going down that road." You know, sometimes we just don't know what we're going to have to face. But God's grace helps us one step at a time. And I sat there with him, and as he always does, when we're there in the hospital, the conversation is not about how bad it is. The conversation is about how good he is. And we're sitting there, and we're just bringing him in the situation. And Steve's going on and on about our eternal hope in Jesus and what that means and the faith that we have, and our faith is in him. I mean, he's given a dissertation. Man. And then he stops and pauses. "Well, I didn't mean to preach." You know, he's a Sunday school teacher. You know, he's just sharing, man. What are we doing there? We're bringing Jesus into the situation. I'll share another story with you. This past week, make you feel real sorry for us right here at Christmas time. This past Tuesday, we had some kind of a crazy power thing with Duke Energy. Thank you, Duke Energy people. It was some kind of a surge. I don't know. We'll blame it on the squirrels. I don't know what it was, whose fault it was. But something happened. There was this power blackout, brownout, surge kind of thing going on. Theron was home, called us, said, the lights are doing weird things going up and down and in and out. And it smells like something's burning really bad. Well, I found out in time what was really burning. We no longer have a refrigerator. We no longer have a washing machine. We no longer have a microwave. We no longer have lights in the kitchen. Is it still that way today? Yes, it still is. I got stuff coming, and they said it'll be here Christmas Eve. So on Christmas Eve, we're going to gather, not around the Christmas tree, we're going to gather around the refrigerator and say, thank you, Jesus. But anyway, but you know, sometimes it just comes in every direction. Boom, 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 boom. Financial, church problems, personal problems, this, that, the other. And I remember one day we were in the midst of all. In fact, one morning Kim just woke up crying. And I'm probably getting too personal here, but she's now broken out with hives all over. I know it's just an attack of the enemy, and I'm praying for her. We're praying, believing. We're praying together over that. But she woke up one morning and just sat on the bed and cried. That's how you begin a day, right? Just sit on the bed and cry. I'm just being real transparent with you. I hope that's okay today. But this is what I said. You know, we had no refrigerator, we have no washing machine, we have no microwave, we had no lights in the kitchen. But you know what? I said, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, come on, everybody. I said, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what we're supposed to rejoice over. Jesus said that. He said, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to tell you what, listen, y'all don't go in the refrigerator in there. That's my food. I put that in there, okay? Just stay out of the refrigerator. What am I saying here this morning? I'm saying in the midst of it all, there is peace, there's hope. And this is what I prayed in work on the workroom floor. I said, God, help us to focus on those things that are eternal and not those things that are temporary. Folks, whatever we're going through, whatever the devil's throwing at you, I want to tell you, he's a loser. He's a liar. When he reminds you of his past, your past, remind him of his future. I'm telling you, we win in Jesus' name. We have peace and knowledge of that. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We overcome. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. Oh, I better stop or I'm going to start preaching here in a minute. Come on, everybody. Come on, there's reason to rejoice and be happy in him today. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Philippians 4, look at it. This should be our attitude. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. I'll say it again. Put it into practice. Put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, Pastor, I see the Christmas cards. They say peace on earth. They all this stuff about peace, the song just singing about peace, Silent Night. But I don't have that. It's not happening for me. There's a disconnect. Let me just offer this as kindly as I can. It could be that you need to come up under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It could be that you need to bring Jesus out of the Sunday experience into the darkest days of your life. And number three, keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. Did you know in your Bible there's 31,103 verses in your Bible? That's an odd number. 31,103 verses. So on one side of the Bible there's 15,551, and on the other side there's 15,551, and then there's one verse in the middle of that that's right in the middle. The verse that's in the very middle of the Bible is this verse. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Come on. Right in the middle of it all, God is saying, keep your mind on me. I'm the center of it all. I'm the center of it all. Oh, the center of it all. He's the center of our peace. He's the center of our joy. He's the center of contentment. He's the center of our life. He's the center of it all. Romans 15 and 13 says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit." So then, where is the peace then? It comes in submitting every area of our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And folks, that's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about coming to the church, just saying a prayer, filling out a card, and joining the church. It's not about that. In fact, Christianity is not even about a belief system. Because the Bible says even the devils believe. It's not even about a belief system. You can believe something, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't follow it. But truly, salvation is coming up under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, making Him your Sar Shalom, your Prince of Peace, your Commander of Contentment. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. You may try to gain the world and attain this and that and accomplish this and accomplish that. But the Bible says, godliness with contentment. Godliness, that means doing it God's way. And by the way, it's not your righteousness, it's His righteousness. Because you can't accomplish anything in your righteousness. It's not by you doing the right things. He's done all the right things. And you come up under Him where when God sees you, you're up under the shadow of His wings, and God sees you through His Son Jesus and His righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? And He accepts you. And by Him accepting you, you inherit His peace, His joy, His life by coming up under His Lordship. I want to challenge you, and it's a challenge to come up under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So that's the message. So here's where we go from here. We got to move up under His covering in every area of our life. Every area. We're not going to save some area for us. No. We're going to give everything to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. Under His covering. If you need peace today, I offer you Jesus. I offer you Jesus. So, do you need to move up under there? Are you ready to move up under there? I want to give you the opportunity to do that today. With heads are bowed, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're saying, I really need to make Him Lord of my life. Perhaps you're saying, I need to reaffirm His Lordship in my life. Maybe you're coming to Christ for the first time, or you're saying, I need to recommit and I need to realign myself under Him today. And if any of that applies, I want to pray a prayer with you today. I want to lead you in a prayer. It's got to be your words, but I want to just help you with that. But it's got to be from your heart. Today, that's you. You say when you pray, count me in on that prayer. Today, I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. But my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you today and you say, I need that pray that kind of prayer today, will you pray with me on that? You slip up a hand and you put it right back down. It's going to lead you in a prayer. God bless you today. Anyone else? Just slip up a hand. Have the courage. Yes, God bless you today. Anyone else? Perhaps you just need to reaffirm. Reaffirm. I need to reaffirm Him as Lord. I need to make sure. Anyone else? Oh, my prayer is that you know His peace today. Right now, for those of you that raise your hand or you're here and you need to pray this prayer, just simply pray a prayer like this from your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my heart. I give you my life. I submit to you today, God, and I invite you in. Come, be the authority in my life. I surrender control. I turn from my ways and my past. I accept your gift of peace today. The peace that you paid for when you died for my sins on the cross, so that I could have peace. Today, I receive that peace. I receive your forgiveness, and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and I submit. Thank you now for coming in my life and making me whole in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for every person who prayed that prayer, has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And now, God, may the abundant peace, the perfect peace, God, come and rule and reign in their heart as they follow you. Guide them. Direct them, I pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, direct their paths. And for this church, I pray, God, may they know your peace. May they experience your peace. And I pray peace in marriages. I pray your peace in finances. God, I pray for healing of finances. I pray for healing of bodies today. I pray for the powerful work of God right now. By your stripes we're healed. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, you come into our lives, oh God, to resurrect hope. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for healing your people. Thank you for the impartation of your peace today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May you be praised in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's praise Him today. Let's praise Him today.